SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. Listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. Got a busy Thursday, I think, in the offing with day two of Kentucky Downs. Yeah, and boy. I just talked to Hammer, actually. He was out and about, and I said, "You got anything for today?" And he said, "You know, I said I'm concentrating on Saturday." He said, "There's too much for Saturday that for me to even try to get a lick in or two today. I'm sure he'll do some handicapping on the fly." During the day, but it's Old Friends Day at Kentucky Downs. Michael Blowen and the team, they've got, of course, the Satellite Farm out there at Kentucky Downs, and should be a terrific day. I'm slightly in the same boat, I guess, as Hammer a little bit. I glanced at this, and I'll probably take a couple of shots later, as the card unfolds. We'll see. I'm going to reach out and we'll get a couple of opinions out in the third hour. We'll bring in an opinion or two. All right, there. I print it out. I'll tell you this. The thing is, it's a good, call it 3/4 of an inch with the sheets by the time you dive in. The maiden race, it goes as the seventh, starts the pick four. You got a host of unraced players in here. Wesley Ward has got a couple with experience. Gives way to a second level allowance going a mile. Combatant, one of our old favorites in here, Swagger Jagger for Mike Maker. Mott with penalty, Joe Sharp, Midnight Tea Time. So you got some familiar veteran types. Then you've got the stake, the Old Friends, group of 12, mile and 70, three and ups, the restricted company. And these are always kind of fun. And it's the not won a sweepstakes over the course of the year. So, a horse like Mr. Misunderstood, who's got a lot of class about him, has run twice this year. A comebacker in June at Churchill and then at Ellis in one of the preview races. So a horse like Mr. Misunderstood, he's got a significant class edge, should he be ready. And, of course, you had word come out with some of the scratches like Catapult, for instance, who didn't make the trip. But, I've always liked these types, the De La Rose and, you get an interesting mix. And sometimes you get horses that are making their stakes debut, that kind of thing, that are moving up the ladder. But when you have the likes of a Mr. Misunderstood, he gets some preference. You've also got horses that have got, he's got experience. He was third here last year, but you've also got Master Marion for Wesley Ward. who comes out of the poker back in June. He owns a Kentucky Downs win from the Franklin Simpson back in 17. So remember, when you're looking at these races, horses that have, like Snapper Sinclair, horses that have had success over the course, you know, give them a little bit of an added edge. You then finish that sequence with another maiden race. There's also, those are for three and ups. So you've got plenty of experience to go by in this group. Everybody's run, and you do have a, on the earlier portion of the card, the third and the fifth, two-year-olds, both going six and a half, the split division that we referenced. So a terrific, really a terrific, fun Thursday, Colonial Running as well. Give us a chance to also note yesterday's action at Indiana. And I felt, I got to be honest, I felt terrible watching what transpired in the Caesars, where it was obvious late that the 35-1 shot, and for anybody that had Spectacular Gem, this has got to be the world's worst feeling. I mean, the minute, you know, as they cross the wire, you're all excited and exultant, and you think you got a $72 winner, and, you know, then come the objections and the inquiry. And when they show the head on, you see what happened. I mean, Declan Cannon with the left hand, and in the late, literally the last few jumps, when he essentially saws off Clint Maroon. The early portion, when he was drifting in a little bit, that would have, I think he would have gotten away with it. I don't think they take him down. If the wire had been, you know, before that last, I don't know, you'd have to look at it simultaneously with the pan, but maybe what, the last three jumps, four jumps, when he really pinches Clint Maroon. And that's what the stewards had to deal with. And that's why the stewards took down Jimmy Baker's Spectacular Gem. And I'm an unabashed fan of Jim Baker's. And this one has got to just really sting, because I don't believe that if Deck Cannon is able to either go to his right hand, or if he puts the stick away and just rides the horse out, I didn't get the sense that, you know, the other two, we don't know necessarily what Clint Maroon does if he gets through. And you really can't tell how much horse Channing Hill has at that point. And if he is going to come through, it's not like he was, you know, not like what happened in the girls' race when it was, you know, Winter Sunset, when Catalano and Channing Hill combined to take the Indiana Grand easily. But I don't think Spectacular Gem was going to be passed if he had kept a straight course. I'm sure Declan Cannon would like to have that back. And Jim Baker and Candy Baker, you know, own the horse. This cost them $100,000. I mean, I exchanged notes with Jimmy this morning. He said the horse came out great and we'll get him next time. And that's stoic. But wow. Wow. So between the Bakers and between anybody that bet him at almost 36-1, $75 horse, And you know, for those that did bet, you drafted on to something that was pretty tangible. If you go back to those two races at Fairgrounds in January and February, you know, then he got rained off the turf in March, got a little bit of a break, got 4 months off, 4.5 months, and came back at Ellis. Four weeks ago, and if he was going to advance off of that performance, those performances on getting back to the turf, he was competitive here. So if you sniffed out Spectacular Gem, good for you, and don't, I'm sure you'd like to open a vein, but I boy, oh boy. Anybody that saw that and thought, you know what, this is a crazy price, this horse should not be 35-1, and he shouldn't have been. I mean, he was 21 morning line, and this was a nice full field, and horses get lost. That's why we like full fields. That's why, you know, that's the advantage. That's, you know, this ended up with even after the scratches, with a total of 9 in here. And he was the longest shot on the board. And ran great. Ran great. And this is going to get, you know, the thing you say to yourself is, you know, where does Jim Baker go, you know, to win a $200,000 race now? You know, this is like a mid-80s buyer type group. This was a big opportunity. And, you know, yeah, that, being a horseman, as Jimmy said, you know, that's part of the game, and I'm sure he knew. Just like when we talked to Owen Hardy, when Owen said, I knew I was coming down. Yeah, I knew I was in trouble when the kid came to the paddock. That was one of the funniest lines of the summer. Carruz gets put up in here for Chris Hartman and owner Chris Wilkins. They were on the outside, and they ran a good race. The revised order of finish, Carruz, who himself paid 31.40, and he's an Into Mischief, was $160,000 Keeneland yearling for owner Chris Wilkins, and he was coming off of the prep where he ran just okay in that Kentucky Downs turf sprint, and he was basically stretching out back off of that little freshening. He was last seen in February at Fairgrounds himself. Crafty Daddy, Brad Cox, and Clint Maroon ends up third in here. He ran well, actually, Clint Maroon, for Catman. And, of course, this was a horse that Pletcher had for the longest time. And then went out to the Midwest for Catalano to handle, tried the Secretariat. That was a little too sharp for him, and ends up with a placement in here. The girls' race went to Catalano, and son-in-law Channing Hill, as we mentioned, Winter Sunset, Coffee Pot, and the Phillips family with Authority. And it's interesting, went off as the favorite, but only, you know, only slightly over 3-1. With Dignity, took a lot of money. Second Choice had been 7-2. Winter Sunset, 6-1 morning line, which was unrealistic. But 8.40. Amandrea, actually, at 8-1 was an overlay in here for Mike Maker and the Zayat team. Winning envelope third, Chris Block. And, you know, I bet Storytime at 25-1. I thought it was a crazy price. And Tom Amos got a bit of a hyper-aggressive ride from Jermaine Bridgeman. I actually talked to Amos, and he was not happy, but Don't give up on her if you bet her, if you came with me and bet her. She's okay. Just keep track of her. So a very nice pair, and more good stakes action next week. I'll probably get Bill Downs to come back. There's another set of stakes at Indiana. They got the Brickyard and that City of Anderson and those fall races that they run. So it was good. I mean, it was fun actually. I was waiting. I had gone down to Albany and had the checkup on the eye, which went very well. Thing is healing beautifully, and thanks to Dr. Falk, and I didn't see Dr. Greenberg, he wasn't in, but Dr. Bouchard, and the retina team, I keep calling them retina associates, but it's retina consultants. But it's healing great. All knock on wood. A couple of little side issues but they're very happy. They say it's going good, and that I've got to be concerned about the other eye. That was the other piece of news. I said, you know, I said, is this a precursor? Could this happen? Well, as a matter of fact, it's funny you say that. not so funny. They said, yeah, be on the lookout for any of those same symptoms. Yeah, okay. Yeah, this was ridiculous. But it's going good. I got another month before I could look straight ahead without goofy things floating around and this bubble and whatever else. We got a fun morning. I got Dick Powell in this next 45 minutes, and we'll give everybody the update on the Woodward contest winner and more, and I've got more details on the Beat Bic numbers, so we'll do that later. Tony Black, of course, and Steve Haskin. I want to get Rich Eng in here. Rich has got a new piece up at ABR, and more. We'll talk to Dick about the opening at Hong Kong and what's going on as they start to, the train pulling out of the station at Sha Tin and Happy Valley. Kentucky Downs and plenty more to talk about. Super Derby card together at Louisiana Downs for Saturday. Let's take a break when we come back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porschebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Dick on Sirius XM Radio.
No boxer. 5 minutes or so to the top of the hour. The Orleans and Dick Powell joining us. Dick may have been in high school when that was a hit.
What year was it?
60, let's see. 63, 64?
No, I'm not that old.
No, okay. All right. 68.
I was class of 69 in high school. So.
All right, so not far off.
A little bit before my time.
Well, Dick, we got a lot to talk about. And, you know, of course, the Monday holiday, it kind of shifts the whole schedule a day off as we wrapped up the summer on Monday. But, you know, so a little Presque Isle, and we'll talk Hong Kong that opened up on Sunday. But your final Saratoga thoughts, too.
Yes, I sputtered at the end. I was making a pretty good comeback, and then I wasn't really pressing. I was coming back by grinding, and I kept grinding, but didn't really have much the last couple of days, so that was all right. I thought the meet was fantastic. I thought the total betting, 700 million plus, is just outrageous for 39, really 38 and a half days, but the one day losing seven races. The one day being wiped out completely. And it was just for a better, there's nothing better. Just the quality, the amount of two-year-olds we got to see, the stakes racing, it was just awesome. Now, if you see me during the day, you're going to hear a litany of complaints on various subjects and topics. But then once the meet's over, you're like, well, number one, I'm happy it's over because where can you, you know, I'm sure there's places, but, you know, just get in the car, drive 15 minutes, and go have lunch, watch a couple of races, and come home. I mean, that's pretty cool. And so that part I will miss, but school is back. Opening day was today, and the kids, the grandkids will be back on their normal schedule, so that's also great happiness in my life.
Nice, nice. What did you think? What did you think of this Woodward and how things ended up? Jimmy Jerkins, the way he responded and adjusted out of the Whitney, and you know, I had Don Little on Monday. Really enjoyed that visit, and we had Jimmy on TV. Seth and I had him on TV on Sunday, and I thought, you know, Jimmy and Junior Alvarado, who had a terrific Saratoga meet, and you know, really kind of showcased what a good, particularly route rider he is. How serious a threat is Preservationist, you know, toward Breeders' Cup Classic time?
Well, he keeps answering questions as he goes along. He won the Suburban kind of handily, and that was his first greatest stake. And then the Whitney, he came a little bit undone. Not a meltdown, but just he had trouble with the paddock and seemed to be too keen and everything else. And Jimmy schooled him, and that 113 work was phenomenal going into the Woodward. And got him back where he should. He came in the paddock. He was better behaved. He was still on the muscle, but nothing more than anybody else in the race. And then he's game and courageous. He's willing to go in between horses, to eat dirt for about 7 furlongs, and just battle through and use his natural talent to best advantage. Considering how lightly raced he is, and Don has talked about, you know, the problems he had weren't major type problems. He'll be a tough nut to crack, and if he goes in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Then the issue to go to California has always been Alan, Jimmy's father, was not a shipping trainer. I mean, he would win in New York, he would win in Monmouth, he would win Florida. Sky Beauty didn't win out of town, and that was unfortunate. I thought there was some reasons behind that. But that's going to be a challenge for them to go out there if they choose to go. You know, take his game on the road, but he just keeps getting better, and the setback he had in the Whitney was more than made up for in the Woodward.
Yeah, no, very fair assessment all around. He's a serious player. It's kind of fun. The last couple of years, when you think about Accelerate, the horse, then a horse like this, you know, kind of emerging, you know, putting it all together at the perfect juncture to, you know, to be involved. It's nice, you know, the bricks and mortar emerging. I mean, different division and all, but that, you know, we're so caught up, and you frequently have that conversation about making stars and, well, the three-year-olds. Okay, yeah, okay. Three-year-olds retire. We understand, you know, what the equation is. In fact, I brought it up with Charlotte Weber on Sunday. You need to make stallions if you're a big operation, and you need to make stallions to, you know, to pay for, you know, the other horses that don't, you know, make it when you're spending real money in the game, breeding or at the sales. So, you know, that part of it. But when you have horses like this, you know, that have been around, or even like a Bricks and Mortar and a Preservationist that was on the sidelines, you know, you see them come back and you latch back onto them. That horse name just came up actually with Pete, that Air Touch that Todd Pletcher has brought back, that flashed ability a year ago and, you know, now is resuming his career. That, you know, there's another example, maybe a horse that, you know, that is getting back to the game and may, you know, yet be productive. So, you know, that's a fun storyline, and the patience exhibited here with Preservationist, you know, really kind of a worth, you know, worth really lauding on Centennial and Jimmy Jerkins' part.
Yeah, Don does a great job, because he's buying in a tough part of the market. He's not buying at the top of the top. He's not buying at the bottom of the top. He's kind of buying in the middle of the top.
Yeah.
And that's very competitive.
He explained it. You know, he explained it the other day. Okay. Yesterday. Or when was it? When did we have? Monday.
Monday.
He really explained that portion. The, you know, 500,000, you know, 350 to,
yeah,
500.
I think Wicked Strong was 385. Yeah, and then they've had terrific success, and then they're smart enough to give Jimmy the ability to be patient, because patient trainers need patient owners, and vice versa.
Exactly.
And so with them, it's a good team, because they gave Jimmy time, and he did his thing and got the horse back, and now he seems to be physically fine this year, and he seems to be able to handle, you know, if you can handle a Saratoga, not just the paddock, but the walkover through the crowd and to get there, that's about the toughest thing for the horse. And usually they show up in the paddock really keyed up. Paddock itself is pretty big and wide open and not claustrophobic at all. It's just the path going over. There's a lot of people there, and they're not used to that. So he showed he can get used to it. So if he does go to the Breeders' Cup, he'll be able to handle that aspect of it pretty well.
We'll look forward to the Gold Cup and the potential for Preservationist to meet up with the Code of Honor and Tacitus. 3-year-olds, you know, getting their crack at the elders. So a lot to look forward to. And we were looking forward, Dick, as well, to the kickoff of the season at Sha Tin, Hong Kong Jockey Club. Trains pulling out of the station.
Yes. 10 races all on the turf last week. And we had Tony Cruz trying to win 3 races on the card. 2 of them were with I've got my handwriting's awful, Aldo DeMeyer. Then he had another win with this 10-pound apprentice, Chan, and that one paid $26. Now, when you look at the form guide and you see the weights, you got to look for the little minus sign next to the apprentice rider, because what they do is, unlike us, they have 133, and the horse carried 123. So that's something to pay attention to. So Tony Cruz had 3 wins. Zach Purton got off to basically picked up where he left off with 2 wins on the card. When Jal Marrera was 0-10 on the card. So that was a little bit unusual. And the big star of the day was Regency Legend, who is now 4-4, all sprinting. You talk about a progressive horse. He's moved up now. He was 93 going into this race. I'm sure he's into the hundreds now. And Danny Shum said after the race that they're looking at the big stake race on Longines International Day in December, probably get one prep in between. But he's really arrived, and he just keeps improving. So Regency Legend, a horse to watch in sprint races at Hong Kong and see if they take him anywhere else. So he was the big star of the day. Betting was extraordinary. 67,000 people showed up, and the betting was way up over last year, so that was very good to see. And now we come back with another Sha Tin card this Sunday, and then Wednesday they get back to the Happy Valley Wednesday Sha Tin weekend, so it's kind of back to a little bit normalcy. But we start out with 2 Sha Tin weekend cards. Difference this Sunday, Steve, is 4 of the races are on the all-weather. So we got 6 turf, 4 on the all-weather coming up. And I believe they're all at, I believe they're all at 1,200 meters, 6 furlongs. I'll have to double-check that. Yeah, they are. So, I lost my place here, naturally. Yeah, what the form guide gives you is details for every distance being run today. So, for instance, in the all-weather, they give you all the track winning post positions. And going 6 furlongs, the only distance they're running today on the all-weather, towards the outside seems to be a little bit better, but winners have come from all 12 post positions, so it's not like anyone's better than anyone else. I also tell you the percentage of winning favorites, which is interesting because some races tend to, just by their distance, tend to generate more upsets, and I'll get to that in the next race. But 1,200 meters on the all-weather is 34% favorites, which is pretty chalky when you consider the field sizes. The all-weather, I think, can handle 12. So 34% with average 12 horse field, that's very, very formful. So that's another nice to know type factor. I like looking at the track bias information as far as post position, because there are just biases that are just very hard to overcome.
And if I can, I will. But if not, I'll stay away from those type horses. Sunday, 1 o'clock in Miami. And, you know, the one thing I keep, I have obviously an East Coast bias. And I know it's 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, but it's 10 p.m. Pacific time. So if you're in the California, Nevada region, these races are coming on at 10 o'clock at night. That's not bad. I mean, for us, it's 1 in the morning, just like Happy Valley is better for us than it is for California with the early morning post. But to get kicked off Sunday, we're going to be on the all-weather track. We got a 0 to 40 Class 5 handicap on the all-weather. And I like number 2, Fortune Happiness. Has been running against 40 to 60. Dropped down at the end of last year, last year's meet, which was September, July 7th. And Fortune Happiness was a good third against this class level. It wasn't good enough to move up out of this class level. So the handicapper kept him at 40. He has to carry 133 pounds. He adds Blinkers on Sunday. And he picks up Joe Marrera. So big, big rider switch here for number 2, Fortune Happiness. He does draw the rail. Joe's going to have to get him out of the gate, which he's shown gate speed in the past. Second, I'll go with number 1, Corey Rapido from Richard Gibson and Zach Purton. Richard Gibson had a winner last week, and it paid $58. So we'll certainly keep an eye on him. Zach's going to knock that price down, though. We're not getting $58 with this one. Had been in against 0 to 40 on the all-weather, had 2 wins, moved up to 40 to 60. Twice on the all-weather, then went to Happy Valley, raced on a turf going about a mile, showed good speed before weakening, now comes back to what looks like to be his favorite surface, and draws post 6 with Purton picking up the mount. So another one with a big rider switch, and always fun to see Zach and Joe Marrera battling it out, which they should do for the next 87 meets. So those are the top 2, the 2 and the 1 for third. I'll throw in number 6, Exponents from Mi Choi. Blake Shin is going to ride. Missed by a head last time, and that was July 3rd. Big late rally. No reason to think he can't rally again. I think these other two might break away from the field and just pull away. But 2-1-6 in the Sha Tin opener. And then we'll go to Gretzky.
I want to ask you about, you know, you mentioned Gibson winning the last week. There's also a trainer story that I figured we would hit on at some point, maybe, you know, later than sooner. But in fact, the story involving Doug White.
Yep.
Who was a, you know, a veteran rider and had a great career as a rider, and I see that White has started to train, and it didn't take him long. He won the second race the other night.
Yes, he did. Paid 1340 Reagan Bayless Road, and it's a big story over there because I think he was 13 times champion rider. I mean, just, he had a phenomenal record as a jock over there. And now he's gotten into training. And they don't give away many training licenses in Hong Kong.
No.
They're very limited. So to get the license is very valuable. And this horse came from far, far back and just won going away. And made up a ton of ground in the stretch. So Adonis was that winner's name. And he was a lightweight in the race. He was number 13, so that tells you he was in pretty light. And he got rolling, and Bayless got him home by 2.5 lengths. And you don't see those kind of wide margins with big fields in Hong Kong. So, yes, Doug White, certainly someone to follow, see how he does. I'm not sure how many horses he has in the stable, but that's a big story over there with his previous success as a jockey.
Well, and... in the story that I read about him, it included, you know, the note that this is John Moore's last year training as well. And White had a lot of success together with John Moore during the riding days.
Yes, John is 70-something. I don't know if they have a mandatory age and not. I remember reading something about it, but yes, this is his last year, and if White can pick up next year where he left off.
White may be picking up right now without even waiting.
Yeah.
Keep a close tab. I know he had 6 or 7 starters on opening night, and I would keep close tabs on him early here to see if you can't poach a price or two with Doug White before everybody else catches on.
Yep. Race two, quickly wrap up the double here. We're back on the turf, 1,600 meters. At this distance, favorites only won 23% of the time. So this is a tough distance, a long run down the back stretch, the one right-handed turn, the long stretch. Lots can happen. I'm going to go with Joao Moreira, number two. Such a Happiness was a good winner. Two starts back at Sha Tin against this class level. Moved up in weight last time, was an even fourth, and does get the rider switch. Zhao rode him to victory two starts back, so he didn't ride him last time, but he picks up the mount again. And I think this one will be tough. Has to carry 130, but, you know, if you're a good horse, you're going to carry the weight. Second, number seven, Indigenous Star, moves up in class off a couple of solid wins, and he's been taking money in most of his starts lately. The trainer is Casey Lung, which is known as Derek Lung, and he had a winner on, the rider, I'm sorry, I got this all mixed up. Yes, the rider is Casey Lung. He rode the horse for Richard Gibson, that's why I'm confused. PFU is the trainer, and Indigenous Star looks like he'll sit probably mid-pack to the back from post nine and make the late rally, see if he can get there in time. And third, number three, Sunny Power. Been at Sha Tin right around this level, high 50s, does well enough to stay at that level, so he still has to carry 128. He draws the rail. We'll see if he can find some room because he does not have any gate speed. So race two, end of the double, will be 2, 7, and 3. And then one of the better races on the card is going to be race number 8. And this is a 80 to 100 handicap, and it's 1,200 meters on the all-weather. So this is a big race for the all-weather type horses, about $250,000 in purse money. I'm going to go with this, the emerging superstar number two, Yi Chung Baby. Zach Purton rides, has had two starts, two wins, both going shorter. One was going 6, one was going to 5. Really good speed. Despite being bumped at the start, he was able to overcome that, then came back and beat another level 80 to 100. Now he's back in against 80 to 100, but he moves up in his rating, so he's going to carry 133 pounds. But this just looks like the typically progressive type horse you get early in the meet that's stakes bound and just going through the conditions to get there. So we're going to go with number 2, Yi Chung Bay. And second, we'll go with number 5, Speedy King, with the aforementioned 10-pound apprentice rider, K.H. Chan. He's in, so he gets in with 117. And his form coming into this race against similar company is very, very good. So 2-5 in the race number 8 at Sha Tin. And that'll be a 3 picks for the night. And for you West Coast people, you got no problems getting a double in. And if you stay up late, you can play race 8.
Well, and or the option, the late risers for those that will be up early on Sunday morning. You can dive in, and I'm going to put out a link to the form guide. A 48 page PDF that it's early, obviously, in the season, but the statistics will start to pile up in the Hong Kong Jockey Club's vault of information, and there's so much for you to glean. And if you start early here in the meet and catch on to kind of basically the flow of the season, and we'll keep kind of spoon feeding ideas and the information so you can understand them if you're looking at it for the first time. I also want to get Paul Matisse in. We'll get Paul in here in the early stages of the season and have him talk about his approach and how he cultivated Hong Kong, a big part of his action during the course of the season. So hkjc.com, and we appreciate Dick's visit. Dick, we'll get into a nice regular swing, and of course we got Presque Isle action to talk about too next week.
Yeah, we have the Presque Isle Mile coming up on Monday night. We'll talk about that on Tuesday, how it worked out.
Well, do we have got a little bit of an advance at all on it, or
I did look at the PPs. What I was happy to see is there's 12 entered and two also eligible. A lot of horses shipping in. Some from California. Shug has a horse in. If the field holds up, I mean, it looks like a really strong race and a really tough race to handicap. So there's some turf horses coming in, some Woodbine, Tapita-type horses, and all the familiar names and faces as far as trainers go. So glad, I was just glad to see they drew 14, 12, and two also eligible.
Nice. And I'm just pulling up that. I didn't look ahead that far. I didn't get past Saturday's draws. And we'll pull this. There it is. You've got. Oh, okay. So Dabo. It's interesting. Dabo, Dale had potentially was going to run him elsewhere, and they ended up scratching, so he saved them for this. Michael McCarthy shows up with Ohio, the 8-year-old. How about that? Coming out of a very good effort in the Del Mar Mile, beating a length and change. More than good for Jeff Skerritt, kind of a Mountaineer Presque Isle back and forth type. Mark Cassie and Gary Barber looking to strike out of an allowance at Woodbine. It's going to stretch out here. What's up, dude, for Mark Crystal coming in from Chicago. Lanier, Brett Santangelo, prepped in the Boyce. He'll be a price in here. Mr. Ritz for Josie Carroll. Very nice. The Oasis Dream 4-year-old out of the Seagram's Cup win. WW, Bob Hess and Ron Paolucci, the horse they bought from Michelle Lovell and her owners. English Minister for Trombetta, the 27-year-old, it feels like. Unbelievable. He is timeless. Shug has got High North for the first start for John Ed Anthony, Short Leaf, and the Midnight Lute 4-year-old that Brad Cox had been training through the spring, and Shug took over, has been prepping at Saratoga. Special Forces for Kevin Attard for down from Woodbine. Knight's Key, Brett Santangelo off the claim, took him from Luch. And then... Really, we've got a Last Tango, really? A Last Tango reference? Pass the Butter. Geez. Oh. Unbelievable. Less Than Perfect. Kevin Rice. Oh, boy. Nice full field. There we go.
One of my favorite movie scores of all time.
I love it. Look at you.
It was from an Argentinian saxophonist, Gato Barbieri.
Look at boy, Dick. Here.
I know some jazz.
I saw
him at Carnegie Hall. There used to be a smaller facility.
Avery Fisher Hall.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I saw him there. I saw him at the Bottom Line Cafe in the Village.
Look at you!
And I
love it.
He did the score for this movie, and he kind of evolved. He was avant-garde jazz, and then he had this one period where I thought he was great because it was more native beats and sounds and everything. And then towards the end, he was in, they had him into salsa and stuff, which didn't appeal to me, but I liked him a lot.
You talk to Dick, and you never know what Esoterica is gonna manifest itself. Well done.
Someone asked me, "What do you listen to when you're riding your tractor and mowing?" And I'm like, "Well, if I don't have a radio station on, I'm probably listening to John Coltrane or Les Dion.
Nice.
I couldn't tell you anyone lately, but I can tell you.
That's all right.
Who the classics
The music's that's timeless. That's the beauty.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of
absolutely.
Jazz. Dick Powell, everybody.
Pass the butter leads to a conversation. tangent.
That's one of the show's hallmarks. Dick Powell, everybody. We'll check in with Dick
right,
next week. I appreciate
okay,
it.
Week.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Take a break here, 20 minutes in, and Tony Black. We'll check in. Tony, see how Tony's birthday was yesterday. I hope everybody reached out to him on Facebook and anywhere else with a birthday greeting. Tony Black, Steve Askin, Rich Hang, and more. Back after this.